We will call the conference committee on House File 42 to order. Just briefly, while we're waiting for the two senators, to the House members and Senator Marty, and so the public knows that I had sent you a delete all amendment that I kind of thought would work. You looked at it, and your office sent me the one marked 42A2 amendment, and in our conversations since that time, sent it to the Department of Natural Resources for their comment. They have not gotten back to us yet. Busy bunch over there. But I like your amendment, so if you'd like to explain it to people, we can go from there.
Sure. And is there anybody from DNR here?
No.
Okay, well, if they come in, we'd certainly like to hear their comments.
Yes, we would.
And I did talk with Bob Meyer from DNR earlier today, and he said he liked this and he had a couple of comments, but I'm assuming he heard about the timing of this, so we'll hope he does get here. What we had tried here, DNR commented on your version, and they said they didn't feel a need to go beyond cormorants, but I figure if we're going to do this and the DNR is going to have it, they may need a little bit of flexibility in terms of, so we didn't narrow it just down to cormorants, but we had a sunset of 2007, which we'd be certainly willing to talk about, and then we said that DNR could in effect have their enforcement officers, which I believe includes the conservation officers and the natural resource officers, NROs, as well as wildlife area managers, other employees, I think the other employees are the NROs, or the person acting under contract. This does not allow local governments to have the silencers. It simply says the DNR, in effect, DNR employees or people they contract with, which I believe they already do for certain wildlife management things, but it would be under the control of the commissioner. And the conditions in this case would include, one, that the commissioner must establish written policy and enforce written policy on the use, possession, transportation. They couldn't have more than 10, and they'd have to keep direct control of the devices when they're not specifically authorized for use. I do know Bob Meyer had said that they were curious, did we mean that the DNR had to do rules, or could they have expedited rulemaking? And I figure since the intent of them is to use it right now, Leech Lake, we expedited rules wouldn't work. And so I guess what our intent was, and again, I don't know if Senate Council or House Research, but the intent is to that they would not need to do rules or expedited rules even, but that they would just have written policy to make sure that they're tightly controlled. And I think the DNR obviously would recognize that if something goes wrong, if some of these got away from them or used improperly, there could easily be lawsuits, other problems. So I think the DNR recognizes the control, and they seem to be wanting to have fairly tight control too. So I think what we'd be doing is hoping they come up with a fair policy. That's what our proposal would be then.
And it would be my understanding, at least my legislative intent, that since the DNR controls the silencers, if they were to issue 3 to some entity that would be using them, they would do that with a written document specifying what they were going to use them for and how long, and I would think that might be their rules or written policy. And obviously if that entity doesn't return them, then they're liable to the commissioner to get them back. And I think it's a good compromise, a good bill. Any comments from
Mr. Chair? Yeah, I give us an example then of how you would contemplate three of the 10 being released in some way, like you just talked about.
Well, I would give a good example for where we need them the most right now up on Leech Lake with dealing with the cormorants. And while my understanding of tribal law versus state law, the state can't necessarily tell the tribal government what to do or what not to do, but I'm certain that they can give them three silencers or four, whatever that amount is, we'll use the number three, with written permission to use them within the state of Minnesota as long as they remain on tribal property, reservation property, for a certain specific amount of time for a specific purpose. Could it be 30 days or 60 days? And I would think that would be a legal contract between the two government entities.
Senator Martin. I'm not sure if they could. I mean, I think they would actually have to contract with them. So if, I mean, this may sound awkward, but in a sense, in order that the commissioner is, the reason for having them contract is so the DNR has contractual control over them, saying you must, how do they deal with them at night? They have to be locked up perhaps in a gun case or however. Presume that would be in the written policy the commissioner has. The reason for the contract with the person is that the DNR, they're in effect for purposes of this under DNR's control. So it might be awkward situation each way, but the tribal governments or tribal DNR may say to the state DNR, we'd like you to do this. Maybe we contract with you and then you contract to hire our folks somehow or another, but they would actually, I presume, have to be under contract with them in order to, so that the DNR keeps control over it. Again, I think that from talking with Bob Meyer briefly, I think the DNR felt this method would work, and I haven't heard any concerns or objections. I have not checked with Lee Swag Band or anybody, though.
Representative Moll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Are we finished with that topic? Or would, all right. Senator Marty, you and I talked yesterday about allowing the sunset provision in this version, line 23, until July 2007 is the way you have it written. And I voiced concern to you that my guess is, and I don't know this for sure, that we might be at this for a while. 2007 might be a little short. You said it yesterday that perhaps a longer sunset might be appropriate, and I would, I guess I would like to see a 6-year window for this that would make that to 2011. If that would.
Mr. Chair?
Senator
Sessler? So I am. As I was asking the representative, Collins, the chairman, how do we come up with six? Is there some magic number rather than five or seven? Or
No. It's just would give us a bit of time. We have a couple more legislative biennials if we were to want to revisit okay. this. This would give us some time to look at how the current law is going and if we want to extend it further or actually sunset it.
I do want to have a sunset in. I was talking with Representative Howes earlier about 2010, but 2011 seems reasonable.
Okay, and then Representative Moore moves that on page 1, line 23, remove the year 2007, insert 2011. Any discussion on that? Seeing none, all in favor of that amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
To the bill as amended. Senator Murray.
I see the DNR has now come into the room and tied it. Sitting right in the front row, I see. And Mr. Meyer, I wonder if you could comment on this. You and I had talked earlier about the issue of the written policy, whether that be under rule or... Because in the Leech Lake case, at least, it would be even... expedited rules wouldn't help in that case.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Meyer, welcome to the committee.
Bob Meyer, Director of Legislative Affairs of the Department of Natural Resources. The one concern that we did have on the A2 amendment, page 1, lines 33-34, and speaking with the commissioner and our staff, I think our concerns about rules have been taken care of. We don't need, it's our opinion that rules would not need to be developed to establish these written policies. So I think the bill as drafted, the amendment as drafted, is workable for us and the work that needs to take place.
Mr. Senator Barney. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Meyer, as far as what these written policies are, I presume it's the DNR would have policies for itself about how here's when the we'll have policy for how we agree to who can use them and for what purposes, how we decide who to contract with if they're not our own employees, and especially if they're not their own employees, but even with their own, supposing on lease rate case that they are using them for a two-week period of time, how they take care of them at night, how they transport them to make sure they're locked up and so on at night. That's the type of thing you're envisioning for rule, for policy, written policy?
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chair, Senator Marty, yes, exactly. The policy would cover the use, possession, transportation, storage, how we get back with them. And also, as you can see, the amendment does require that we do keep direct custody and control of the devices when they are not specifically authorized for use. So they will be in direct possession of the department when they aren't being used. But that transportation, possession, control will be addressed through the written policies and procedures.
Senator Martin.
Mr. Chairman, one other question on another issue of how it would work. With the Leech Lake Band in the Cormorant case, looking at the wording on this, my sense of how it would work, I want to make sure, I'll tell you how I thought it was likely to work under this. Tell me if you think that's not the way it's likely to work or whatever. But that the Leech Lake Band and the state DNR both want to take care of this issue. The Leech Lake Band would either give the DNR permission to do it, or they would contract with you or whatever, but then you would have to, in effect, even if it's going to be the band's DNR, you'd have to contract with their employees. Somehow or another, you'd have to have a written contract with them in order for them to use the silencer. So it could actually be the case where they contract with you and you contract with their employees. Or how do you envision it working there? I don't understand enough about how your relationship with them is.
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chair, Senator Meyer, or Senator Marty, I'm sorry. The workout details this session. Right now, we're working with the USDA under a contract for this season. Next season, we would be able to perhaps enter into an agreement with the band. It could be a no-cost agreement allowing them to use the silencers that we would have possession and control of. They would do the work. It could be a cost-share arrangement. The language as crafted, which is something we're looking for, is flexible to allow us the ability to do it ourselves, to contract with the USDA or to contract with the tribe, either at a cost or with just a contract that may resemble somewhat of a memorandum of understanding, but it would be formalized like a contract to talk about how those activities would take place.
Okay. Mr.
Chair.
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Meyer, just a quick question. As you know, the DNR, or USDA, is up there now trying to shoot these things with air rifles. How soon do you think that this legislation will be able to help the guys who are trying to do that right now?
Mr. Chair, Representative Moe, the legislation, once enacted, would be helpful. We would have to establish, of course, written policies, and then we would probably have to amend the current contract. As of late last week, there was about 900 birds that were removed from the island. The common terns are back, so we have ceased or in the process of ceasing up the large overall population reduction process, and we're going into the feeding study now. We'll be taking about 20 birds a week for the rest of the year. These tools will be able to be used for that part of the study. So as quickly as we can develop the written policies, get the bill signed into law, develop the written policies, and amend the contract, we would be able to utilize those silencers.
Sure. So let me get this straight then. The culling of the cormorants that you're doing right now, this particular legislation probably won't be able to be of help, but when you're actually shooting the cormorants for studying if they're actually eating the fingerlings that you're stocking, that will be of help, correct, this year, and then next year you'll be able to use the silencers in the spring immediately.
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chair, Representative Moe, we will be able to use the silencers as soon as the law is enacted and we are ready to go. It will be helpful in the diet study, which is ultimately participating in or helping us reduce the population, but we will be up full speed with the 10 silencers that we have in law next spring when the birds do come back to roost.
Okay. Thank you.
Senator Marty.
Mr. Chairman, one other question. I think I was the one who suggested the limit of 10 silencers. If you're never going to use more than two or three, I don't know if you want to. It's a minor point, but it says no more than 10, I presume you're only going to buy, if you need 3, you're going to buy 3.
Mr. Meyer?
Mr. Chair, Senator Marty, yes, we, it's not a commodity that we want to have more than we need sitting around. So.
Is there anyone else here that would like to testify for or against the bill? Any more discussion?
I move the A2 as amended.
Senator Marty moves the A2 amendment as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
No? Motion prevails. Adopted.
Mr. Chairman, Senate Counsel is here now, and he said we could get this to the revisor's office and get the report printed out pretty quickly for us to sign.
Okay, and as long as Senate Counsel is here, do I need to make a motion to accept the as amended House File 42 into the conference report? What I just said is what we just vote on. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much. Meeting is adjourned.